The crisis in Egypt and the one in Tunisia earlier have sent a clear message to leaders throughout the Middle East. Ignore the people's grievances at your own peril. Jordan's King Abdullah has moved swiftly. This week, the king sacked his government and named a new prime minister, Maruf Bakit. He ordered Mr. Bakit to take practical, quick, and tangible steps to launch true political reforms. Prince Hassan bin Talal is King Abdullah's uncle and a member of Jordan's royal family. He's also the brother to the late King Hussein. Prince Hassan, have you been encouraging your nephew, King Abdullah, to open up to democratic reforms?
Well, this has been the writing on the wall for many, many years. I mean, with my late brother, King Hussein, he did much of the involvement in international relations, and I was basically involved with national priorities. But I think that the problem with security is that everyone has assumed, particularly since the war on terror, that we're only useful to the United States and the Western alliance in Afghanistan or in Iraq or wherever it may be, if we are on the side of the good guys. And unfortunately, the populist movements are really gaining ground on the basis of association with fighting this new imperialism. This is how it's seen in this part of the world.
You and your nephew, King Abdullah, along with many other Arab leaders, have been educated in the West, and you know the benefits of democracy. Why is it taking so long in a place like Jordan to embrace democracy? I mean, where does the pushback come from?
Well, I don't want to look to outside the region, but I do want to say when, you know, this business of, you can hold an election, for example, and Hamas can win that election. But if it does so, please remember it'll be on the terror list. As Jimmy Carter said, you know, getting onto the terror list is easy, but getting off it is almost impossible. I'm not advocating that Muslim ideologues should get onto any democratic list any more than Jewish or Christian ideologues. I don't think monopolizers of the truth can make headway. But these monopolizers of the truth are not only the ideologues, but also the states. Everyone wants it just so, to serve their own interest. So there is a repression of fundamental freedoms in terms of this symbiosis or this partnership between countries who see themselves allied with the West and with those Western countries who want business to continue as usual.
Although we should point out that the Muslim Brotherhood is not on the State Department's terror watch list. Maybe you can just elaborate a bit more on what Arab leaders are afraid of opening up quickly to democracy.
Well, the Muslim Brotherhood is a basic organization or alliance of organizations that, of course, is not on the terror watch list any more than it's supportive of Al-Qaeda. But unfortunately, the basic problem is discrimination against anything that smells even remotely of Islamic identity, which is playing directly into the lap of the extremists. As far as what Arab countries are afraid of, it's not a new Jasmine revolution as in Tunis. You know, they were talking about the Jasmine revolution, or the Facebook and Twitter leaderless generations who have impelled Tunisians to go out and recover their dignity. I think that basically it's a clash of legitimacies, the legitimacies of state power and the legitimacy of the street. I personally believe that no civil society can work without a clearly focused population. And this is where good governance has just broken down. That's basically what it is. And good governance is not just sitting back and listening to security reports.
So, Prince Hassan, say you sit down with the new Prime Minister of Jordan, Maruf Bakit. What is the first thing you suggest he do?
Well, I think that a focus on a regional database, starting with a national database, which takes human, natural, and economic resources, it's there, it can be touched up, it can be put in place. And correcting poverty, I think, requires addressing the structural injustices which underlie poverty. And one of the main structural injustices is this whole issue of the refugees and their different categories. How long can we continue to talk about them as though they didn't exist?
And you're referring to Palestinian refugees, of course.
Not only Palestinian, but Palestinian, Iraqi, I mean, we have received the equivalent of 40 million people arriving in relation to the population of the United States on the shores of America. And nobody recognized what the hospitality Jordan has offered.
So you think that establishing, to start with, this database can create some kind of transparent system whereby, you know, a Jordanian Bedouin nomad might see a connection, might see an sense of ownership in Jordanian Airlines, for example?
Yes, I mean, our model is Canada. I mean, you go to an human resource development office in Ottawa, and you end up finding a job in the Yukon, and you go there. But moving towards a skills-based, a merit-based community is what it's about.
Prince Hassan bin Talal of Jordan, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much.